Delegates to the Electoral College will gather in each of the states to vote on whether Joe Biden or Donald Trump should be president. 4 years ago, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by a margin of 3 million votes, yet still lost the election since her opponent, now President Trump, won big in the Electoral College. In most modern elections, the votes of the Electoral College fly under the radar. The candidate with the most popular votes usually wins. But in the 2000 election, and again in the 2016 election, the candidates with the most votes did not win. Technically, when we vote for president, we vote indirectly for a slate of party officials who, if their candidate wins, have pledged to vote for that candidate at the state's Electoral College. The Electoral College consists of a certain number of delegates assigned to each state based on the census count of the state's population. Each state gets delegates for each of its two U.S. senators, plus one delegate for each of its members of Congress. The District of Columbia gets three delegates, too. Each Electoral College delegate represents, on average, a bit more than 600,000 people, but the system is skewed since no state can have fewer than three delegates. The smallest states have two U.S. senators and one member of Congress. Thus, states with the largest populations are underrepresented in the Electoral College, and the smallest are overrepresented. If New York had the number of delegates that matched its portion of the population, it would have 32 delegates instead of 29. Neighboring Vermont would have one delegate instead of three. Every 4 years, 538 electors from all 50 states plus Washington, D.C., cast their votes for President and Vice President of the United States. A candidate needs a majority of 270 electoral votes to win the race. The Electoral College system was created in 1787 as part of the Constitutional Convention. The support for the system came from the smaller states, which, coupled with the requirement that each state have two U.S. senators, wanted to make sure their voices would be heard. Similarly, many states in the South feared that a direct popular vote would lessen that area's influence, since a great deal of its population at the time was non-voting enslaved peoples. Ironically, the framers created the system to help ensure that partisan politics wouldn't dominate the country's electoral process, hoping that electors would choose the person running regardless of party membership. As we've seen in recent days, it hasn't worked out that way. New York, like most other states, is a winner-take-all electoral state, so only the delegates that are pledged to the winning candidate cast votes at that state's Electoral College meeting. But it is unlikely that the drama will end there. While Biden is expected to far exceed the minimum number of Electoral College delegate votes needed to win the presidency, there have been instances where delegates have refused to follow the will of the popular vote in their states. Those contrarian votes are cast by so-called faithless electors, someone who votes for someone other than their political party's candidate. Some 33 states, plus the District of Columbia, require electors to vote for a pledged candidate. New York, however, is not one of those states. Legislation to require electors to follow the popular vote was passed in the state Senate this year, but stalled in the Assembly. Given that a president-elect's substantial victory, he won the popular vote by 7 million votes and is expected to garner over 300 delegates, even if there are some instances of faithless electors, it seems highly improbable for such electors to change the outcome. The antics of the president and his followers to overthrow the clear decision of the voters hinges now on an unfair and confusing Electoral College system. It's long past time for the nation to once and for all fix the anachronistic and deeply flawed Electoral College.